Hi, everybody. We got a program note for you again. Barring holidays, occasional, you know, family days, we now post this show every single day. Got that? Not weekly. Used to be weekly. Now we're daily. And we hold no punches, so look for it. Truth bomb number one. Julian Assange is the victim of U.S. state retaliation. That is what his lawyers have just said to a British high court, and they are apparently, the court, that is, listening. Truth bomb number two. NBC reporters screaming mad because their network dared to hire a Trump advisor. By the way, this is pure hypocrisy, and I'll show you how. Truth bomb number three. RFK Jr. has a running mate, did you know, who will likely take votes away from President Biden? That's what pollsters seem to be saying at this point. We're going to tell you why. I'm Rick Sanchez. This is Direct Impact. So here's where we are. U.S. State Department officials, as you probably have heard, are saying that Julian Assange endangered lives by publishing thousands of classified documents. But defenders of Mr. Assange say, worldwide, by the way, that it was the military contractors with their actions in Iraq and places like Afghanistan who were not just endangering the lives of innocent civilians, but also lying about it. And once again, I mean, let's look at this, right? Let's have a case in point here. This attack, where this U.S. helicopter gunships and its soldiers are heard killing two Reuters photographers, and then they're kind of, well, they're not kind of. They're laughing about it. Watch.
Hotel 26, Crazy Horse 18, have 5 to 6 individuals with AK-47s.
Light them all up.
Two traffic, 260s.
Come on, fire.
Hey, Roger.
God damn it, Kyle.
Alright,
oh yeah, look at those dead bastards. Come on, let us shoot.
You're engaged.
1-8, okay, clear.
Come on.
Clear.
Oh yeah, look at that, right through the windshield.
The cold frequency.
I just drove over a body.
It's amazing to watch and to hear it. The helicopter gunship, the guys inside that helicopter gunship even waited. You saw it there toward the end, that van, right? That was an ambulance. They waited for it to arrive to take the victims to the hospital. Maybe they could save their lives, but instead they fired at them while they were in the ambulance, eventually killing the men and several others who possibly could have survived. U.S. officials denied that the incident happened until they were shown the video. These are the types of stories revealed by WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange that his lawyers say, look, it embarrassed U.S. officials. She says they're just angry. She says it's because of that they simply can't handle the truth. And it's the only reason that they want him turned over for what she says, quote, is state retaliation. British judges seem to agree, at least in part, with what that argument is, enough to mandate U.S. officials to do a couple of different things. One, they must assure that Julian Assange gets his freedom of speech protections. Two, they must assure that he will not receive the death penalty if he is extradited at some point to the United States. And then the U.K. High Court is also saying that Assange can now launch a new appeal. And they are delaying the proceedings by at least another 3 weeks while they possibly prepare that. Here's what's ironic. Some of Assange's critics in the United States are journalists. Journalists who criticize him. Or maybe better said, government lackeys posing as journalists. Look, say what you want about Assange. You may not agree with what he did. Fine. You can't deny this. He is a bona fide reporter who has sacrificed himself for the sake of the truth. There's no question. Interestingly enough, the Assange story is occurring as there is a booming scandal that is taking place in the media here in the United States right now. Everybody's talking about it who's in the media. It's over the hiring by NBC, the television network, of a former Donald Trump advisor who was also the chairperson of the Republican Party. Her name is Rona McDaniel. You may not have heard of her, but she's somewhat well known here. She's no longer tied to the party. She's no longer tied to Trump. So she was offered a contract by the network, by NBC, even though, by the way, she has no journalistic experience, no journalistic credibility, mind you. Well, this hiring has set off an intense reaction from NBC employees. They all went on the air, I mean, every day, to criticize their company's chairman, Cesar Conde. Here's an example. Here's Chuck Todd.
I think our bosses owe you an apology for putting you in this situation, because I don't know what to believe. She is now a paid contributor. You got put into an impossible situation, yeah, booking this interview, and then all of a sudden the rug's pulled out from under you. You find out she's being paid to show up. It's unfortunate.
Yeah, Chuck Todd's mad that they hired this woman who worked for the government, and now she's being hired to work here at this news channel, no less. He wasn't the only one. There's like 10 or 20 who've come out recently and said the same thing on the air. But there's a glaring hypocrisy in their position, and it's this. Why didn't they speak up? And why weren't they also appalled when their network hired Simone Simmons? She was the senior advisor for Vice President Kamala Harris. Jen Psaki, who they also recently hired, she was the White House press secretary for President Joe Biden. From White House press secretary to having your own show on NBC. Nicole Wallace. She was President George W. Bush's White House communications director. In fact, Nicole Wallace was in large measure responsible for selling the lies to us, the American people, that got us to buy into the disastrous thing that we call the war in Iraq. But now she has her own show. She's a journalist. By the way, those same reporters often call foreign media companies and foreign journalists, quote, state TV. You've heard us a million times. They say it about this place. That's state TV. That's state media. Those are all government propagandists. What could possibly be more government propaganda and state media than having a government official suddenly become a news presenter or a so-called journalist? The fact is, our media is chock full of former government officials. Many of them went from being a spokesperson for the government or some government agency or intelligence or the military one day to having their very own news show on a cable news channel the very next day. Did they get a four-year degree or something in journalism? This is crazy. It really is, especially when you consider that the vast majority of them have never covered or written a news story, nor do they have degrees or any training as journalists, but by golly, there they are. Hello, this is the news. I'm such and such. Look at this. We compiled a little list for you to see. I mean, this is top of the hat stuff, okay? There's Jen Psaki. I told you about her already, right? She worked for Biden and Obama. There's George Stephanopoulos. He was President Bill Clinton's spokesperson. Then he became the head anchor and news presenter at ABC. Simone Sanders. Told you about her, right? She worked for the vice president. Now she's got her own show. She's a journalist, I guess. Huh? Nicole Wallace. There she is. Same thing. We could keep going. Here, let's do it. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, how about her? She went from the government to then working for Fox News, and now she's back in the government. Like, you can just ping pong back and forth. Mike Huckabee is her dad. He went from being the governor to having his own show on Fox News. Donna Brazile, the head of the Democratic Party. She went from that to being a news contributor at ABC News. And then Sean Spicer, just to spice things up a little bit. He went from White House spokesperson, right, to being now an anchorman at a cable channel. Look, I could go on and on and on and on, but I've got to stop here because we'll be here all day. So here's the question. Why are these NBC journalists who have not once complained when other government officials were hired and who have not once complained about the treatment of a real journalist like Julian Assange, why are they now complaining about Rona McDaniel? Could it be that what they really stand for is not so much journalism, but rather group speak? Group speak. Could it be that what they really don't want to do is share their microphone or their studios with people who they don't agree with? Oh, and guess what? They won. NBC Chairman Cesar Conde apparently just announced he heard their screams and he fired McDaniel before she even started on the job. Here's what he said. He says, after listening to the legitimate concerns of many of you, speaking to these reporters who all complained at NBC, I have decided that Rona McDaniel will not be an NBC News contributor. And there you go. Wow. Joining us now, my colleague, John Kerouacou, who represents just the opposite of all those people that we were just talking. Not only is John Kerouacou not a government lackey, he's a whistleblower who has long been critical of the government, which is what journalists are supposed to do, by the way. He worked for the CIA, so he saw it from the inside out. John has written several books. He appears here weekly on his own show. It's called Whistleblowers, because he is a whistleblower. And I don't know. I don't know where to start. Maybe we'll start from the back end. What do you make of these journalists at places like NBC who are now angry because somebody from the government is going to go to work for them? It looks to me more like they're angry about the fact that he is a Trump government worker, right, but they were okay when it was Democratic president government worker.
Oh, sure.
Hypocrisy?
Oh, total hypocrisy. And the thing that they focused on was that Rona McDaniel was an election denier. In fact, she really wasn't an election denier.
No, how about Wallace, who got us into the Iraq War?
That's it. You're exactly right. And let me tell you another thing. Ken Delanian at NBC and MSNBC, he's the chief intelligence correspondent for the network. He was caught, thanks to a Freedom of Information Act request, sending his articles to the CIA for clearance before sending them to his own editor.
No.
And we're supposed to just accept that.
So I didn't know this, John. One more time. A reporter who worked for NBC.
Still works. He's the chief intelligence correspondent.
One of the worst faux pas you could make in journalism.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm one of those few idiots who actually went to journalism school and has spent my time being a reporter and writing stories. You don't. Before you interview somebody, you don't send them their questions.
Right.
You don't share with your sources the information that you have because you're going to bias them. You're just going to get from them what you wrote. And in this case, that he would actually get the okay from a government agency, you're supposed to be opposing the government agency. You don't work for them.
That's right. Well, this points to the demise of investigative journalism in the United States. In most cases, it just doesn't exist anymore. Another thing that we learned from this Freedom of Information Act request that was that was filed by a reporter from Bloomberg, Jason Leopold, was that when journalists got too close to stories at the CIA, the CIA's Office of Public Affairs would write them emails and say, "You better stop. You better stop investigating the story, or we're never going to cooperate with you again, and you're not invited to the Christmas party."
In other words, we will deny you access if you write something we don't like.
That's right.
How is that not state TV? How is that not propaganda?
You're exactly right. That's exactly what it is. And even if these so-called journalists protest that they are not propagandists, they have to admit that they are corporate propagandists, at the very least.
By the way, I could see times when you should have government sources.
Absolutely.
But they should not be your pals.
Exactly.
They're not supposed to be your buddies.
That's right.
You're supposed to work against each other. Not in a disrespectful way.
No.
But you're supposed to work against each other.
That's the way this whole thing is. You keep the honest people honest that way.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Assange. I'm trying to understand what the judge is really saying. It looks like, did I get this right? My read is, he's saying, you guys, his lawyers, you guys have a point. Mm-hmm. I think there's something afoul here. I'm going to give you 3 weeks to reappeal. Mm-hmm. Is that really what's going on?
Yeah, this is a paperwork exercise. So one of the things that the British insist on is whenever the Americans are requesting an extradition, they have to say in writing that the prisoner will not be subject to the death penalty. So they said that orally in court early on in this process, but they didn't put it in writing because they didn't think that they had to. Julian hasn't been charged with a death penalty crime, but it wasn't in writing. And so we're at the point now where Julian's attorneys are just throwing the kitchen sink into each appeal. And one of the points that they made in the most recent appeal was, hey, they never said in writing that Julian wouldn't be subject to the death penalty. And the Brits said, you're right. The treaty specifically says it has to be in writing.
Is there a possibility at this point, John, based on all this, some of it minutia, some of it important administrative filings, where you're starting to see that there's a little bit of daylight for Julian Assange?
Yes. Yes. I don't think I'm violating a confidence by telling you that several months ago, the Justice Department offered Julian a deal.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted him to take a plea to an espionage count. He flatly said, never. Hmm. He said, I will not be held responsible for any future prosecution of an American journalist for doing his job.
Hmm.
And said, no deal. Well, now the government, it's more clear that the American government just wants this thing to go away. And so they're offering him a plea deal to a reduced charge that in most cases is a misdemeanor. It's not a felony. And the conventional wisdom is that deal would be for time served and he can just leave.
That deal has not been sealed.
No, it has not been sealed, but it's not a formal deal yet.
Yeah.
I was talking to one of Julian's attorneys a couple of days ago, and they said that this is just something that's been broached by the prosecutors.
The question is, why would they do that? Let's do this. Let's talk about that on the backside, because I want to ask you about that. I want to ask where this is going, and then we're going to talk a little bit about RFK Jr. Who's he going to affect the most now that he made a big announcement yesterday? President Biden's voters or former President Trump's voters? We will let you know. Don't go away. I'm with him. That's John Kerouac.
The Russian state-controlled narrative.
Als Teil der Sanktionen gegen Russland gehen die westlichen Länder gegen russische Auslandssender vor.
Mais écoutez, monsieur, c'est pas à vous de décider de qui est journaliste ou pas dans ce pays. On est en France, quoi. C'est pas possible.
We will ban in the European Union the Kremlin's media machine. The state-owned Russia Today and Sputnik.
RT, Sputnik, even our video agency, roughly, all banned on YouTube.
Et merci à vous tous pour votre fidélité et votre soutien.
Здесь наш храм.
Раньше ходил здесь в рясе, теперь вот в камуфляже.
Начал работать миномет, и в двух метрах упала от меня мина. Ни одного осколка не зацепил. Охранял, я не знаю, какие-то высшие силы, наверное.
Это война. Передо мной враг, который, если будет двигаться в мою сторону, я буду убивать.
Как раз вера на войне для того и нужна, чтобы остаться человеком.
Первый раз машина с гуманитаркой. А у нас ни воды, ни хлеба, вообще ничего.
Здесь продуктовые наборы, здесь есть все.
Обстреливают еще нацики, понимаешь?
Азовцы, если находили московские телефоны или что, убивали в хлам.
Нацики отходили, просто заливали бензином с канистр, подпаливали и уходили.
Люди очень боятся, чтобы сюда назад не вернулась Украина.
Детей можете отдельно собрать, сейчас закончим сладкая роданка.
Главный принцип – все, что собирают люди в России, донести непосредственно в руки нуждающимся здесь, на территории Донбасса.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Rick Sanchez, and I'm here with my colleague John Kerouac. I'm thinking if there is a possibility, as you mentioned, that there's some daylight, that there might be a deal that they might do with Assange. Is it because the U.S. is in a bit of a pickle right now globally? I mean, Ukraine is looking like a mess.
Yes.
Gaza's making this administration look really bad. This thing that just happened in Russia, a lot of people are pointing the fingers in our direction. Mm-hmm. It's a good time for some kind of win, and bringing a journalist back to the United States and then saying you want to kill him or put him in prison for life would be a fourth really bad look. This Agreed. Might be the time where all these things kind of help Assange. Am I wrong?
No, I think you're right. I think you're onto something. The fact that it is an election year means that the administration needs a win.
Young votes.
Young votes.
Yeah.
And young people are disproportionately supportive of Julian Assange.
Yeah.
So it's in everybody's interest to make this thing go away. And you know, one of the things too that the British courts don't understand really is the division of power in the United States. They keep getting these assurances from the prosecutors that he won't be subject to the death penalty, he won't be put in a communications management unit, he won't be put in solitary confinement. It's not up to the prosecutors to make those decisions.
Right.
It's up to the Bureau of Prisons. And now the British judges are realizing that they may have been lied to.
And don't make promises you can't
that's
keep.
That's right. Yeah. Make this thing go away.
There's something else I want to get your take on. Ready? This is a story that I want to tell you about today that's really kind of important because it could have a real impact on who becomes the next president of the United States. It's about RFK Jr. He has announced who will be his running mate for vice president.
I am so proud to introduce to you the next vice president of the United States. My fellow lawyer, a brilliant scientist, technologist, a fierce warrior mom, Nicole Shanahan.
He got me a fierce warrior mom. Nicole Shanahan, by the way, she's a lawyer from California. She's apparently a philanthropist. Kennedy's hoping that she's going to bring in lots of young voters, but I'm not sure about that. And I'll tell you why. I don't think it's likely to happen based on the fact that Kennedy is 100% against the Palestinian cause and 110% in favor of the Israeli government. I don't know. That is possibly what's bringing out a lot of young people against even the President Biden, even though they're Democrats right now. So I'm not sure about that. Shanahan is very connected, by the way. She is tied to Google co-founder Sergey Brin. And she was also responsible for the Kennedy Super Bowl ad that tied him to his dad and his uncle, who were both, as you know, assassinated. The $60,000 question is, will he take votes from Biden or will he take votes from former President Donald Trump? You care to venture here?
I try to follow these polls very closely. First, let me reiterate something that you said. She's a billionaire.
Yeah.
Being the ex-wife...
Makes three of us, right?
Yeah, right. Being the ex-wife of Sergey Brin, God bless, you know, if you come out of that with billions
of
dollars.
Why didn't we marry him?
Seriously, I wish I had. So, number one. Number two, she's only 38 years old. She's young. She's very accomplished. She's an important lawyer focusing on patents and trademarks in Silicon Valley. Good-looking, 38 years old. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I said that a moment ago or not. The idea is that she should be appealing to young people, but you raise something very important. The reason why Bob Kennedy is not appealing to young people is his position on Israel.
Oh, it's horrible. It's worse. It's he's more strident than Biden.
Both of them.
Yeah.
Than Biden or Trump. Like, can you be more pro-Israel than Biden and Trump?
Yeah.
Apparently you can. Because he is, and that's what's really hurting him. So the key, I think, for him is not to win the presidency. He knows he's not going to win the presidency.
Yeah.
The key is to be able to poll consistently at the 15% level so that he gets invited to the presidential debates. Now, he's been polling between 10 and 15%. He's hoping that this gives him a boost. Now, you raised an important question, too. Mm-hmm. Does the Kennedy campaign draw more from Biden or more from Trump? When he first announced, he was drawing significantly more from Trump. That has reversed. And now he's drawing more from Biden.
So it looks like he could be a problem for Joe Biden.
Yes.
At least the way it looks right now.
Well,
although
today,
it's...
And today, for the very first time, the Biden super PAC criticized Kennedy by name. The policy previously had been to just ignore him.
Yeah.
Now they're attacking him, and they attack because they're worried.
And because they've been looking at the polls.
Exactly.
John Kerouacou, you are such a good friend, and thank you so much for taking time to talk
thank
to
you.
Us.
Thank you.
As usual.
Pleasure.
Before we go, I want to remind you of what we do here, really. It's our mission. We try and keep it simple. We want to just de-silo the world. We've got to stop living in these little boxes where you only agree with your neighbor if he agrees with you. No, truths don't live in boxes. Truth's everywhere. I'm Rick Sanchez. That's what we go by. And we'll be looking for you again right here, where I try to provide a direct impact.